The Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus prayed, "I ask not only on behalf of these, but also on behalf of those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one. As you, Father, are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given them, so that they may be one, as we are one, I in them, and you in me, that they may become completely one, so that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I desire that those also whom you have given me may be with me where I am, to see my glory, which you have given me because you loved me before the foundation of the world. Righteous Father, the world does not know you, but I know you, and these know that you have sent me. I made your name known to them, and I will make it known, so that the love with which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them." The Gospel of the Lord. Jesus' final act of ministry prior to his arrest in the Gospel of John is to pray for his disciples, present and future. That's a remarkable detail to consider. He doesn't leave us with a teaching to ponder or a sign to behold, but a prayer to cherish. And to pray and be prayed for is a profoundly vulnerable thing. It is to articulate both our hopes and our fears, and to admit that we do not finally have control over our circumstances. It is to acknowledge our limitations and to commend our lives entirely to God's mercy. And if Jesus prays for his followers, he reveals his heart to us. "The glory that you have given me, I have given them, so that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may become completely one." This is Jesus' greatest hope, that we partake of the unity that characterizes his relationship with the Father, the abiding love at the heart of God's very being. What a glorious disappointment we must be. Take a quick glance at Christian history or even the state of Christianity today, and it would appear that Jesus' prayer for unity was never answered. If the criteria for unity are theological, social, or political, then we are clearly not one. I certainly struggle to bear with my fellow Christians whose confession contradicts the core of our ethics: love for the outcast, care for the foreigner, reverence for the natural world. Thank God the church's unity is not up to us. Jesus' prayer for unity is not answered by our feeble efforts, but only by his own faithfulness. In other words, we discover our unity only in our common need for grace and belonging, and in our common acceptance by Christ.